This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, at least 28 people killed by tornadoes over the weekend. Most of those who died were in the state of Kentucky, still reeling from recent severe flooding. The phone call between President Trump and Russian President Putin is scheduled to take place this morning. Afterwards, President Trump's expected to call Ukrainian President Zelensky for updates. Russia has just outlawed Amnesty International, calling it an undesirable organization. Former President Biden and his family discussing treatment options for the prostate cancer that has spread to his bones. Dr. Stephanie Widmer, an ABC News consultant, says at this stage there is no cure, but there is treatment.
Being that he is an older individual, his ability to tolerate a more aggressive form of treatment may be limited. But that being said, prostate cancer in general is a treatable form of cancer.
In Washington, D.C., the big budget package being debated in the House passed a key committee last night. This is ABC News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa near Lansing is unexpectedly closed once again. The Iowa DOT said that movement was detected with one of the bridge's piers, prompting the closure. The bridge will be closed for at least this week and until further notice, according to DOT officials. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. The nation's leader during the spring drug take-back day was Wisconsin. According to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, the state collected over 56,000 pounds of unwanted prescription medication. In the 15 years of the program, Wisconsin has collected about 1.37 million pounds of medication, third behind Texas and California all time. The event happens twice per year, once in the spring and once in the fall. You can visit the DHS website to find year-round drug collection sites and more information about the program. Several tornadoes touched down across Wisconsin last week. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A total of 9 tornadoes tore through the state last week. The National Weather Service conducted their damage surveys and rated 3 of them EF2s on the Enhanced Fujita scale. Before Thursday, the state had seen 7 tornadoes in total this year, all of which appeared on April 28th. Now, in just 2 days so far this year, Wisconsin has experienced 16 in total.
Wisconsin averages about 23 tornadoes per year. Rain is on the way. Today will be mild, breezy, and cloudy, with highs barely getting to 6.
A win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-2 victory over the Twins, ending Minnesota's 13-game winning streak. Top of the 8th, the Twins' Royce Lewis looked as if he'd hit his second home run of the day, but Jackson Churio, filling in the past week at center field, made the play of the day on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Tying run at the plate in the top of the 8th. Fly ball left center, Churio back.
Brewer closer Trevor McGill saw Churio's catch from the bullpen.
Dude, I turned around last second. I just saw a glove like peeking over the wall with the ball, and I freaked out. That was badass. You know, him in center field. You know, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him.
Tonight, the Brewers open another home series against the Orioles. NBA. A report says Giannis Antetokounmpo will meet with the Bucks this week in Milwaukee to review the season and discuss what's next moving forward. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy today and breezy with an isolated shower or thundershower developing by late afternoon. Our high in the low 60s. Tonight, rain, thundershowers, 42. Tomorrow, some heavy rain. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more through Wednesday. Our high tomorrow, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home. We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Benga Ajilore, a former advisor with the USDA, talking about the threats to rural hospitals posed by the Republican budget reconciliation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live from Wisconsin across the Civic Media Network, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Filling in for Pat this morning, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is 6:06 on this beautiful Monday morning, May 19th, and welcome to what is typically the Pat Kreitlow Show. But today, once again, we're taking it over. Greg and I, it is the return of Bach and the Doc for one day only. It feels so good, doesn't it, Greg?
It does. It always feels good. It's good to see you, Doc. I'm going to see a lot of you today. It's all got you this morning, got you on Matt and Air on Air at 9:30. It's a It's a Lyerly kind of day.
It is, and I'm on Pete's show tonight. Although Pete's show is always kind of like, it's like pillow talk.
Yeah. Oh. Well then. And you got your show on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday. You're just all over Civic Media. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, my show is so much fun. It's really cool to be able to take some of the things that we talk about in these short bursts of information and expand it and really highlight some of the beautiful things in Northeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So last week we had Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich on talking about, Green Bay just won this huge Robert Wood Johnson Culture of Health Prize.
Whoa.
Which is, I know, it's huge. It's a big national prize. It's a reflection on some of the work that we're doing to holistically welcome people in northeastern Wisconsin, making sure that they've got food and access to clean water and all of the things that you need to be able to live a healthy life. Not just, you know, the checklist things, but like all of the stuff that makes your life healthy and fulfilling. So we're really, really proud of that.
Good. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And on the show today, this is going to be a great show. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about it.
It's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed. We've got my oldest son, Abe. He's going to join us for a little while in this hour. He's a middle school music teacher, and it is the end of the year, so he's a little frazzled, and we'll all share in that. That'll be fun. And then, of course, on this day in music history, that's fun to put together. Talk about a rabbit hole, Greg.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I was driving back from Minnesota last night, and Siri and I were having conversations about On This Day in Music History, and there's so much stuff. And once you start going down that rabbit hole, I want that segment to be a half an hour long, not 10 minutes.
Talk to the upper office, the head brass, the boys and girls in charge.
I know, the guy with the good hair.
Yeah.
So this hour, Abe, and On This Day in History. Next hour, we've got Brittany Merlot. We've got Alan Tipple joining us. He's a new guest. We haven't heard from him before. He's the Wisconsin Youth Organizing Manager with Men for Choice. Have you heard of that group before?
Intrigued. What?
This is a group that brings men, you know, the abortion issue doesn't just affect women, it affects all of us. Mm-hmm. And this is a group that brings men together to be able to tell their stories and help them understand what the impact is on them personally and the people in their lives. So that's going to be a fascinating conversation with Alan, who is originally from Sheboygan.
Oh boy. Not Sheboygan Falls, because I know there's a bit of a rivalry there.
No.
Okay. All right.
Sheboygan without the falls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got more Brittany Merlot. We may or may not have Luke Mathers. We'll see. If we get lucky, we will. We're going to talk about childcare with some new friends from Ashland, attorney Carla Smith and Teresa Fredericks. She's the owner and manager of Treetop Development Center and Preschool. And then we're going to welcome Jane to do a little, you know, friendly handoff.
That's right.
To the next hour. So it's going to be a really good morning. You are always welcome to join our conversation. Just call us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app. There's a super easy way to message us there. And you can leave a comment on Civic Media's Facebook or YouTube channel. How about that?
Yeah, right now we are streaming the live stream on Civic Media's YouTube, as well as the platform that we still call Twitter in this house.
Yeah, I call it Twitter too.
Me too. It just doesn't, I was talking about this with some people on the weekend. It's not, and it has less to do with like my feelings towards Elon Musk. It's just calling that platform X just always sounds weird. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't sound right.
Twitter has, it has like a cuteness to it.
Yeah.
Like chatter, like, also you know.
But syllables, like Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter right now.
But X could mean so many different things.
Yeah. Yes, it's literally the unknown. Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a new phone and I can't bring X up anymore. I have some sort of a like a problem connecting. You know, you get a new phone and everything's all messed up and then you have to solve all those problems.
Not me. Dr. Liley. I have the wonderful Pixel XL 9 Pro. The Pixel XL. I'm not paid. No.
Yeah. Well, so I've got this new phone and I can't pull Twitter up. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It feels actually a little, when I go to it, I'm like, oh, this is okay. This is my excuse to not.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Yep. Totally. We were talking about that too. It's like, what would be the first of all your social media accounts that you're on right now? What would be the first one you would just disconnect with immediately and be like, all right, I'll do Facebook or I'll do Instagram. I'll do all the others, but this is the one that it's easy for me to just jettison.
Oh, Twitter for sure.
Yeah.
I've attempted to do that, but then I keep kind of going back to it because there are people there who I still want to talk to.
Yeah.
So it's hard to not.
Can I be totally honest and self-indulgent and vain? Reason why I don't leave Twitter is because there are certain people that I really look up to who follow me on Twitter. So it's like, I feel special. So I do not get rid of it yet because I am egotistical and vain-ridden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. You build a community there, and you don't want to leave it behind.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the community on, so a lot of people switched over to Blue Sky, but it's not the same. And it's not, for me, it's not as robust, and I'm not getting as much engagement. So,
yeah. Yes, yes, that's very true. I mean, it's definitely trying really hard to be the, I would say the healthier alternative, because I do, when I go to Blue Sky, I'm just like, this is nice. But it just, I look at a few things, I scroll once or twice, and I'm like, all right, I'll come back to it. I kind of, for the first, I'd say month or two I had it, I had to like remember that I had it. I would see it and be like, oh, I'm Blue Sky, I should check that out. And I'd have like, ooh, two notifications.
Oh.
I know, right?
It doesn't feel special. I know. Yeah. I want to like it, but I'm not there yet. Maybe I just need to invest more in it.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. Hey, do you think we should run down some temperatures from across the state?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So guess where the coldest spot in the state is right now? You won't be surprised.
The Northwoods area, North Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's Hayward. Yeah. Hayward's at 33, Amory 34, Wausau 35. Eau Claire is 41, La Crosse 46, Richland Center 43, Wisconsin Rapids 40 degrees, and Milwaukee 39.
it's just so, like, I think right here, in, if I'm not mistaken, in Racine, we're sitting at 41 cloudy with, mm-hmm. it looks like, 10% chance of rain all day. Just, it's just basically, it's my phone's way of saying, well, it's going to be gray and cloudy out. Maybe it'll rain. Probably not, but it's not going to be sunny.
Today feels like a nap.
Yeah, and I got stuff I got to do outside, and I want to go home and just cuddle with my dog, or just go home and let my dog look at me, because she's not a cuddler. But
she just stares at you.
She does, literally. She will sit on the, well, she'll either sleep or she'll walk around. But if she's next to me, she doesn't like oh, come, you know, sit on your lap. She's like, what's up? You want to throw something? Do you want to give me some food?
Do you like get a feeling like, am I not meeting your expectations?
Every single, Kristen, that is me every day of my life. Dogs, humans, robots. I'm always thinking that about myself, Chris. I'm like, could I be doing more for you? I understand this is not really entertaining, but yeah,
we maybe need to do a therapy session.
Oh, I've already, Dr. Lila, we can talk about that. I've signed up for a whole new program for therapy and whatnot, because it's important to get out there, talk about it, get to know yourself. And I personally believe everyone should talk to a professional on some level, but yeah, I'm venturing back into that world. But yeah, on the lighter side of it all, like, I see videos all the time of, you know, my dog just can't get enough of me. And my dog, when I sleep, my dog is asleep next to me. My dog's like, hey, can you give me food or something, please? This is just like, I got things to do.
Greg.
Yeah.
Your dog isn't a dog. Your dog is
a cat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, she's.
I have a cat who's a dog.
Oh, that's cool. Uh-huh. That's so cool.
Yeah, kind of.
You want the cat to be more like a cat?
Well, yeah. Like, I'm kind of a hands-off parent, yeah. As Abe will tell us in our next segment. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'll feed you. Nice to have you around. You're cute sleeping in the chair. I'll pet you every once in a while. Like, I'm not the go for walks kind of person. I'm too busy for that. Like, I've raised 4 children. I don't need another thing to do.
Yeah, I understand that too. Yeah, I should walk my dog more, but I kind of like bundle it, because we have a nice backyard that's fenced in, so we run around there, and then I take her to the dog park. So she gets her runs in that way, but she's half German Shepherd, so she's got that, like, let's do stuff attitude, which I don't. And 2, she is less than 2 years old, so she has that energy to burn.
Uh-huh.
So
that's good for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for me to watch her do that. Just watch her from the porch and just let her get crazy.
Speaking of energy to burn, did you happen to catch the Brewer game yesterday?
Oh, I have not watched any of the Brewers games this past weekend, where they continue to disappoint me and make me sad.
No, they beat the Twins yesterday.
Oh, they did? Because I must have been looking at Saturday's score then, because I looked at the score, I was like, oh, God.
Jackson Chourio had this epic catch where it was the 8th inning, and the Twins were down by 2, and there was a runner on base. So it would have tied up the game if Chourio hadn't, like, literally reached over the fence to grab this ball.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Nice.
Yes.
So they didn't get swept by the Twins.
They did not get swept by the Twins. You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And in the NBA, in the West semifinals, the Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind is nice and the basketball's cool.
It is cool. The Thunder beat the Nuggets 127-93. Huge margin there. So the Thunder got the victory in the series. And that means that we're going to have a new NBA champ this year for the 7th year in a row.
Don't we always have a new one?
No, like, we haven't had a repeat. There's all 4 teams are new in the last 7 years.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of great.
Basketball.
I have a hard time watching basketball because I can't see it consistently, because it's on all the different channels and you have to, you know, buy this special package. And I'm not that invested.
I know what you're talking about, Dr. Lily. I don't watch basketball either because I just find it boring.
Really?
Oh, I think basketball is so boring.
What about college basketball?
Oh, my God. Seriously, did I do something wrong? Do I have to watch that? I've always had a problem with college sports just because there's so much of it and I never know where to start and follow. It's like trying to dive into comic books where you're like, wait, do I do this edition? Do I do this series? I don't know who to follow. So yeah, it college sports. Cool.
Maybe start with the Badger basketball team.
There we go. There we
I'm
go.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about sports and news and other things when we return. But for now, this is Dr. Kristen Lagerle here with Greg Bach. We're Bach in the Doc. And this is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lagerle here with Greg Bach. We are, of course, Bach in the Doc, filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back on... When is Pat coming back?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow, Tuesday. It's and wait, who are we, Doctor? Again, what's the name of this little duo of ours?
Bach and the Doc.
There it is.
I need like a better radio voice. Like, we are Bach and the Doc.
I have to practice Bach that. Bach and the Doc coming at you live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's good, but nobody tops Todd Michaels.
Todd does have him. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We should get him to be like, you're listening to, I'm trying to do a Todd Michaels. Why am I trying to do a Todd Michaels impression? You can't.
I know.
Yeah.
We all want to be Todd Michaels
in
our voices.
True. It's mm-hmm. true.
Hey, it's 6:23. The weather is nap.
it's cozy time weather. It's cozy time weather.
It is, but we'll get the full scoop from Brittany in our next hour. And in our next segment, my oldest son, Abe, is going to pop in and say hi. Because he's a middle school teacher and the year is winding down. Did you do that thing when you were in school where you would write down the number of days that were left and you'd cross them out as you got closer?
Absolutely.
Oh, that was so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
How was middle school for you, Greg? Was that the best time of your life?
No, actually. And I know we're in a morning show capacity, and it's supposed to be fun and light. And I am fun and light. But middle school, Dr. Lyerly, was what some experts would call a waking nightmare. No, I didn't. I will not lie. I will be open and honest with all of you. Middle school and elementary school were not fun times for me. I did not enjoy that experience. High school got better, but a little bit. But yeah, middle school and grade school. Whoo! No, thank you. No thanks.
Yeah. Middle school, there's so much happening. There's so much changing in your life and your body and your friends. And then you add social media on top of it for kids now. And it's, I just can't even imagine being a middle school girl, especially right now.
We were also, like, I have some of the best conversations at the Laughing Tap when I'm there after the shows are done and the doors are closed. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that, like, none of us, we were all in our, like, mid-30s or older, and we were all like, there's no amount of money you could pay us, no amount of money you could pay us to make us go back to middle school or even high school, because the way I got bullied in it face-to-face. I couldn't imagine getting an instant message from someone. That would just, no, thank you. Nope. Hard pass.
That's really true. I loved high school, though.
Okay.
I loved high school. Shout out to my friends from Kakana. It was so good.
Yeah. What made it so good for you? Like, where you just had a group of friends and you just went on adventures?
Yeah, I think it was just, it was the people, it was the teachers, it was all the cool stuff that we got to do. Yeah. You know, the sports. I was an athletic trainer and I was a pom-pom girl, and I didn't ever want to leave school. I was just having a great time. I think I was figuring out who I was. Yeah. And that was, you start understanding the possibilities and the freedom. You know, in middle school, you're like trapped by all of the, you don't have enough freedom, but you kind of want it. And by high school time, I was like, oh yeah, let's go.
That's amazing. I love that. I never wanted high school to be the best years of my life, because I felt like I never wanted to look back on just those 4 years and be like, that's where I peaked in my teenage years. But definitely for high school, there was a coming out of my shell, discovering drama, being in bands, making friends for probably the first time, and that being important for me. But high school was had a decent experience.
Can you believe that it's graduation season already?
Dr. Lyerly, every time I'm IDing somebody and I look at ages and I'm like, you're not old enough. Oh, you are old enough to be here. By some years, like people who were born the year I graduated from high school. I'm like, oh, this is mean. This is just mean.
Yeah, that gets worse all the time. I got carded the other day. I was in Minnesota for a meeting. I got carded because it's like what they do. And I thanked the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it felt good.
We get various versions of that. We get, like, if we card, like, you know, we card anybody who looks young enough, but if there's a big group of people, we'll just say we're IDing everyone. And there's three roads a person who doesn't need to get ID'd goes. They go, you don't need to see my ID. And I'm like, nah, you don't worry about that. Or thank you. Or do you really need to see my ID? I'm like, well, do you really need to be that
aggressive
upset
about it?
Yeah, they get like offended that I'm making them dig into their pocket, pull out their wallet, and like I've made them do a thing, and they get all like, you know, tighten their pampers about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, it's nice though if you do it for everybody, because then it's not like you're selectively profiling people.
Thank you.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it gets them through. If they're really, really older, I'm like, you exude so much wisdom that it would be insulting for me
wisdom.
To ask you. Insulting for me to ask you for your ID. So head on in.
Greg, you're the best.
I try.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am really looking forward this summer to spending some time in Milwaukee and hanging out at the Laughing Tap the last time we went. Oh, we had so much fun.
Yes.
What?
Well, we can talk about that on the other side of the break. Because I guess you've not heard the news.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My Milwaukee expert is going to join us
Excellent.
On the other side of the break. Yes. My oldest son, Abe, will be with us. We're going to chat about middle school.
Yes.
End of the year, graduation, all of that, maybe some headlines. But for now, this is Dr. Kristen Lierley here with my friend Greg Bach. We are Bach in the Doc. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
There's a lot of ways that animal disease and insects can make their way into the United States. What many farmers may not realize, you've got a four-legged partner fighting for you. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It's called the Beagle Brigade, and these four-legged warriors are generally working international airports, trying to sniff through a lot of luggage, a lot of carry-ons, to make sure that there's nothing that can contaminate U.S. agriculture inside. Valerie Wu is one of the handlers of the Beagle Brigade. They work the Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., and she explains what their day looks like.
We work a 10-hour shift. Our partners are with us for the majority of that shift. We do kennel all of our dogs. They don't live at home with us. Because they are primarily looking for food, places like the kitchen or the dining room would be problematic areas for training. And a lot of our dogs have never been pets. A lot of them have been hunting dogs or things of that nature.
Valerie Wu, one of the Beagle Brigade handlers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. They say the Beagle Brigade has a 95% success rate.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday, the barrel cheese was up 6 at 188. 40-pound block cheese up 3 1/4 at 193. Double A butter up a penny, 234 1/4 per pound. This morning in Chicago, June class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 3, 1926. July corn's up 3. December new crop up 2 at 437. July beans are up a nickel. November new crop up 3 at 1039. And July wheat, 6 cents stronger, 531 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand so far. On a Monday morning. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yankee.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy today and breezy with an isolated shower or thundershower developing by late afternoon. Our high in the low 60s. Tonight, rain, thundershowers, 42. Tomorrow, some heavy rain. We could get an inch to an inch and a half or more. Through Wednesday, our high tomorrow, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us to talk about resources for Wisconsin farmers. Please don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach on the board. We are Bach in the dock, filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back tomorrow. And it's 6:35. So as promised, we are joined this morning by my oldest son, Abe, who is headed off to teach middle school shortly, but he's joining us to blow off some steam because it's the end of the year and middle school is crazy. Right.
This is a nice wake-up routine, actually, before I get into the day and I'm dealing with a room full of screaming kids. This is a nice way to sort of, like, warm my voice up and get my thoughts put together before I jump into the crucible. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. How are the kids?
At this point in the year, everyone's tired. You guys were talking earlier about the crossing off the days. Mm-hmm. There's a big, beautiful poster at the end of the hall where I work, and it just counts down the days till the end of the year. And we take a moment at the beginning of every class, and I was like, did you see it went down to 18? We just have 18 days left.
We're all feeling it.
Yeah, well, we're getting through.
We're doing the best we can. There we are.
Amen. Amen.
Greg loved middle school. Did you also love middle school? Was that your favorite time in your life? I'm totally lying. Greg did not love middle school.
Middle school is rough. Middle school is such a like transitional time for everybody, and you have people trying to like they're changing out of being an elementary school student, where you know it's like you're just playing on the playground and like eating rocks. and you're like trying to become a little bit of an adult in middle school, and everyone has a different role model for what an adult is. So you're going up against these kids whose only idea of a role model is like a giant jerk, or there's just all these different people trying to build an identity for themselves off of basically nothing, because you're in middle school. You don't have that much. You're trying to figure out how to organize yourself and present yourself still. Yeah. So it's everyone is workshopping themselves and their social interactions for the first real time, and that's rough. No one's good at anything the first time, and middle schoolers are normally bad at just about everything the first time they do it. Really, really smart kids, they learn so fast, and they come to you just like dumb as bricks sometimes.
That's a great point, though. I hadn't really thought about how it's the first time, like you're just trying it out. I think as adults we're so used to having that experience and having done it over and over again, yeah. We get really comfortable in that, but it's still hard for us as adults to try new things. So middle school is all new things.
Yeah, yeah. It's an uncomfortable sort of like quagmire moment in your life where everything is new and you're bad at everything and your friends let you know because they're all jerks and figuring out how to not be.
and they're great at pointing out to you how not good you are at stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh, and everyone smells bad and blames everyone else for it. It's just the worst.
But Abe loves teaching, folks. Worst. Loves it.
I really do. It's always an engaging day. You show up, there's always something new happening. Sometimes it's a little bit worse than other times, but you know, it's a solid 9 to 5, and then you get 3 months off in the summer, and I get to just walk around Summerfest. And
so that's a question I have for you, Abe. So your summers, are they just for at least now exclusively off, or do you do continuing education? Do you teach summer school? Do you have summer plans that include your job?
So summer school was something I tried to do last year, but it fills up really fast in the district that I'm working. The pay is good. So last year I took the year off. This year I think I'm just going to take it off as well.
Okay.
Try to get more involved in organizing in the Milwaukee area, figure out what's going on. But really just, you know, take a little bit of time and spend time with those around you and breathe is the plan.
Speaking of that,
yeah,
we teased the magical Laughing Tap in our last segment. Like, absolutely. What is the scoop with the Laughing Tap?
So as of January, July are both the wrong months, everybody. Wow. As of June, geez, I'm an adult. So our final shows at the Laughing Tap will be the 13th and 14th of June, with us closing the doors of the tap on June the 18th.
No.
But it's because we're looking for a brand new location.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But that Walker's Point location was, you know what? No, this is all new things. This
yes.
is good.
It's not that we don't love Walker's Point. We love Walker's Point. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's on the rise, or some people call it gentrifying. But also, it's become untenable with the buildings, it's just not a, you know, it's just not a situation which does us the best. So we're looking for a new location right now. We don't know where it is, but
hey, there's that company brewing spot. You ought to come up to River West.
We do not want to go to another brewery. They're not built for comedy. They're built for brewing. It's for us, it's a matter of, as we've been saying, we have to find a smaller location to get bigger, because you've both been there. It's a very large building. And so We need to do more with less and just expand the operations out, and we'll be announcing more as we know. And the reason somebody asked, like, well, why didn't you announce it in the location? I'm like, because we don't have one. And if we just said we were closing our doors, you think we'd just close. So we had to say we're closing, but we're relocating. Hopefully we'll be open sometime in the fall.
Tony suggests AmFam Field. It's open about half the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you bring a grappling hook, toss it over the.
We'll just knock down some. We'll knock out some of the walls of the suites, and it'll be perfect. We're just right in that 300 level. Oh, great! And I expect them to give us free rent. That's great. Thank you, the Brewers. I'll start paying rent when you start getting above 500. How about we do that?
Oh, you're salty this morning about the Brewers.
I kind of am. I love the Brewers. I love the players. I love Pat Murphy. Love Pat Murphy. He's like a baseball coach or a manager who just walked out of a movie. He's older. He's kind of grizzled, but he's good. He's good-hearted. He's fun. But I just don't enjoy our upper management, especially our owner. He's a rich man. And he is, in my opinion, suffocating them with low payroll, not big choices. And it just there was an interview he did like months ago where he was like, well, I'm just the owner. I don't have much power. I'm like, you're the owner. You're like the main guy in charge. You do what you want. I believe George Steinbrenner from the late 60s to the 90s did whatever he wanted. So,
he was a celebrity in his own right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah,
we're kind of spoiled in Wisconsin. Like, We're the only community that owns our football team.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we might be the only community that owns a professional sports team.
You are, in fact, the NFL has a Packers clause in their, their lease, or not their leases, but their, if someone wants to own it, start a new team, it is specifically stated in their bylaws that the community cannot own it. It has to be owned by a person. And
that stinks
to me. That also reeks of like classic manager versus worker mentality of like, well, we own the means of productions. You do not. You never will anymore. So that's there'll never be a model like the Green Bay Packers again.
Is it socialism?
some would call it, I would say it's Marxist communism. And just, I'm going to dabble in a bit of feminism too, just to make it terrible.
Craig, you're having a big day.
I guess I did sleep well, Dr. Lyle.
I think you did. You're spicy this morning. Yeah. Hey, wait, tell us about this comment on the live stream about Derek Van Orden.
Oh, Tony from Tony watched listening up north in Ashland says, where did it go? There's so many comments on the folks, by the way, you can add your thoughts on the live stream by going to Civic Media on either YouTube or on the platform we used to call Twitter, but
we call it Twitter.
Yeah. Tony on the live stream says, did you see DVO say we should get rid of spring elections? He said Republicans don't show up. Imagine you make an announcement, then immediately followed up with the quiet part. You scream out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, was this all part of the Republican convention over the past weekend? They said a lot of things.
When was Derek Van Orden originally elected? What wave was that in?
He's in his second term, I believe.
No, that was...
Uh-huh.
Okay, so 2020.
Yeah, let me look it up, but I believe he's only a second or third term. He's definitely made a name for himself, and not in the best way. In my opinion,
I don't know. I feel like he says these things. We saw a lot of this during the Republican convention. We see this, a lot of this from Republicans in general. It's like a big comment that's controversial, and then we get all up in arms about it, and we forget that, oh, yeah, we have to protect Medicaid. Oh, yeah, SNAP is in danger.
Well, speaking of, didn't he promise to not cut SNAP spending or not cut Medicaid spending? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's been a lot of Wisconsin Republicans who have gone around and sort of extolled the virtues of this plan. And we're not cutting anything. We're giving, we're giving, we're giving. Mm-hmm. And then you see the actual raw text of the bill, and it's a massive cut across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And they just advanced it in the House.
It's so, nickels. It's many, many nickels. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the calculation you came to with the nickels?
I believe it was 4,600,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, But you're exactly right, Dr. Lyerly. It's the fact that he says something ridiculous like get rid of spring elections, which, you know, just sort of reeks of authoritarianism. We're going to get rid of an entire election cycle because we don't need that. And then he's throwing a nickel in the other direction to say, hey, I'm really messing with you on benefits. And I think you said it. You did say it, Abe. And we've been talking about it too on Jane's show, which is that thing of, we cannot cut Medicare. We cannot cut Medicaid. Social Security is safe. And then as soon as the bigger plan, I'm like, well, there's nothing I could do. I had to vote for it, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, and they shout those things. They shout, we are not going to cut this. But then the cuts come quietly where people aren't paying attention. And, you know, let's face it, people are busy. They're distracted. The more expensive life becomes, the more difficult it is to afford things and engage and have additional time to pay attention to what's happening in the news. So they know if they shout these things that that is what people are going to believe. And they're very consistent in their messaging. And as somebody who has to help clean up the messes that they make, especially when it comes to healthcare in general, it's heartbreaking. Patients come to me and they want to know why they can't get this or why this is too expensive. And I have to explain, it's because even though they were shouting, we're not going to touch Medicaid, they touched Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can't have what you need.
Yeah.
So what does that, as a doctor on this panel, what does that look like? The proposed cuts that they're planning, realistically, what will that do for the constituents that Derek Van Orden serves, that he's been promising not to impact? Like, what realistically are we looking at here? Hospital closures? Are we looking at, I mean,
people will lose their health insurance coverage. Many people will lose their actual insurance coverage, and the impact on especially rural hospitals. Some of these hospitals are very much funded by Medicaid funds, so they won't be able to continue providing services. Nursing homes, I think I saw a stat yesterday in Wisconsin, 75% of nursing home reimbursements comes from Medicaid, and we already don't have enough nursing homes, and they are grossly underfunded. So if nursing homes start to close, where do those residents go?
Well, their family just has to pick up and do their job, Dr. Lyerly. Do better, people. Take care of your kids and your parents. Take care of them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later on the show. Actually, we're going to talk with some folks from Ashland about childcare, how expensive it is, how it's not working for parents, how it's not working for childcare providers. And that is a huge issue right now in Wisconsin, which Governor Rivers has labeled the year of the child. But we're not seeing that kind of love from our legislature, are we?
Not at all. Not one bit.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, Abe, stick around, because when we come back, it's on this day in history. You ready for it? I know, baby. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with my friends Greg Bach and Abe. We are Bach and the Doc and Abe on this, the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. After the election of liberal-leaning Justice Janet Prosewitz in 2023, Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate maps were challenged in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and subsequently thrown out as unconstitutional. But justices passed on a challenge to the congressional districts. With April's election of Liberal Justice Susan Crawford, pro-voter groups are trying again for a fairer congressional voting map. In early 2024, the legislature ignored six fairer maps and adopted Democratic Governor Tony Evers' least change compromise map, later allowed to stand by the U.S. Supreme Court. GOP candidates were elected to six of eight congressional districts with only 50% of the statewide vote in 2024. Two challenges were filed May 7th and 8th, one by the Elias Group, contending that the least change directive had no basis in the Wisconsin Constitution, and the second by the Campaign Legal Center, argues that Evers' map ignored traditional redistricting norms, splits too many counties, and didn't equally apportion the districts. A record $100 million was spent by both sides in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The current margin in the U.S. House is 220 Republicans to 213 Democrats. We've linked to the filings and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a fellow veteran, we understand what it means to serve on a team. A suicide on a team is devastating and a real risk for veterans. If you or someone you know is struggling, reach out now. Reach out WIS.org for local resources available to you and your loved ones.
Paid for by Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment with support by the Medical College of Wisconsin, the War Memorial Center, and ReachOutWIS.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Of course, this is Pete Townsend, one of the founders of The Who, with Let My Love Open the Door. What a great intro.
That intro was every 80s movie that had computers in it.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings with me, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Greg Bach, and Abe joining us for On This Day in History. Pete Townsend, to me, always had this like Easter Island look, you know, to me every time I saw his face. Is that weird?
I mean, honestly, if you look at Pete Townsend and John Entwistle, their long past bass player, they always looked the same to me. And I thought they were brothers for the longest time. They just look like they have the same face, same nose. They just have that British English face of just long and downtrodden.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're that close to Keith Moon for that long,
yeah,
like your head gets a little shaken up. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, very, very, very true.
Yeah.
We've all seen the video of the drum set exploding on stage, right?
That's an amazing story, too. That story is just that. Oh, my gosh.
It's an incredible.
Wow, yeah, yeah. Oh, we should have a whole show on music stories, but
we could do that.
Yeah. But also, this song is always featured as like the end song of a movie or a TV show as well.
I know, because it's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete Townsend, one of the greatest guitarists in rock history.
Okay.
True. He is. Yes. People have said that.
Many people have said Pete Townsend is the greatest guitar player in the world. I'm very good friends with Pete Townsend. I've been to the country of Pete Townsend many times.
Oh, enough already. Hey, guess what happened in 1958?
What happened?
Do you have another tune for us, Greg?
I do.
Yeah, hit it.
It is this song right here.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. You know, this was released as the first 8-track master recording pressed to a plastic 45 RPM disc. This was the origin of the 45. Bobby Darin, 1958. And think about how things have changed since then. From the 45 to the 8-track to the cassette to the CD. Now we got none of that stuff.
We have got so much more than that now. The audio equipment that exists today.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
The amount of doctoring you can do to a clip is just ridiculous at this point.
The amount of technology is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think of that line from Men in Black where they talk about this tiny little disc that's going to revolutionize music. And he just says, I guess I might have to buy Beatles' White Album again. And it's just to me, every time a piece of new music format, you're like, I guess I got to download my entire collection again.
Is this one in your collection, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen?
No.
Nah. Well, in 1965, FBI agents actually visited Wand Records to investigate the song, because this is on the FBI website. This is a quote. The popularity of the song and difficulty in discerning the lyrics led some people to suspect that the song was obscene. So the FBI investigated for over 2 years and ended up saying that it wasn't obscene.
This song's obscene.
Well, there are some similarities to the era that we're living through right now in terms of how the government is looking at music and speech and that sort of Red Scare era and coming out of it.
Well,
the FBI was investigating different jazz artists and how they were investigating different messages that were going out through media. It's obviously not the same.
Well,
apples and oranges, but there is a similarity there.
I don't know. I mean, when we see people getting picked up and thrown into El Salvadorian jails because they're like, well, he's got a tattoo on his arm with a crown. Did you see that his father's name is under it? Doesn't matter.
Well, and the beautiful, crowns beautiful mean... Times New Roman MS-13.
Yeah.
Size 11 font Times New Roman. Come on, that's... It's the skill on that tattoo artist.
All right. It's also Joey Ramone's birthday. He was born in 1952. Jeffrey Ross Hyman. This is one of their big hits. This just gets you going, right? This is a good Monday song.
Yeah. I saw the Ramones in concert in like the late 90s, and it was an amazing... I'm not the biggest Ramones fan, but that was an amazing show.
Mm-hmm. Joey was always so interesting to watch. I mean, he had some like significant mental health issues. He had schizophrenia and OCD, but he's out there performing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting human.
Yeah.
Died in 2001 of lymphoma. It's also Malcolm X's birthday. He was born in 1925. Of course, he was a prominent and controversial civil rights leader. Assassinated in 1965. And in 1990, Madonna topped the charts with her 8th number one song that had us all going like this. If you can't see me on the live stream.
Vogue.
And we were all like, what is that's what they're doing in New York City right now?
They had been doing that for like over a decade at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it came to Wisconsin in 1990. Mm-hmm. This also is the anniversary of Happy Birthday, Mr. President, for Marilyn Monroe. Do you remember that? Very interesting.
Back in the day when a woman could do that and the guy would be like, yeah, sing it. Nowadays, be like, this is awkward. I don't like this. I don't like this.
That's right. It is World Family Doctor Day. It is National May Ray Day, where we celebrate sunshine, but we're probably not going to get too much today.
Yeah, not today.
But when we come back from this break, we are going to talk to Brittany Merlot. She's going to give us the full scoop on the weather. And we're also going to talk next hour with Alan Tipple from Men for Choice. It's going to be... Babe, I'm so glad you were able to join us this morning. I hope this gave you a little respite from your middle school life.
This has been so much fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love having you around, Abe.
We do. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly on behalf of Greg Bach and the Bach and the Doc crew, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Biden and his family weighing options now that he's been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer.
It's important to understand that prostate normal cells, as well as prostate cancer cells, respond to testosterone. But not all prostate cancer cells respond to hormones. And in this case, the president's prostate cancer cells do respond to hormones, which means that that is another opportunity for treatment and hormone therapy, which is where you would give medication that block the hormone to reduce the risk of recurrence and spread of the cancer.
ABC medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton. More than 24 people were killed as a line of strong storms moved across the South and Midwest over the weekend, most in Kentucky. Another line of nasty weather that could include tornadoes is set to hit parts.